if you go out onto the parkway and you look across from Fort Hunt, you will see Fort Washington. And of course, as you know, you'll see right below it a lighthouse. I've always been fascinated by lighthouses because they're the kind of thing that help a person in dangerous situations avoid danger. And they're spotted all up and down the river and through the Chesapeake Bay. And I just think they're very interesting. They point to a world that has got some sense of protection and order. And if you're out on the sea and you have no compass or no GPS, you still might have a sense of order if you're able to navigate by the stars, though that is a skill that I would assume is probably going quickly and being lost. And of course, if you have a compass and a map, you can orient yourself to where you are here and also in the world. And of course, if you have a GPS, which if the satellite is able to get down to it, you can exactly locate yourself both in the large picture and in the local picture. Paul today, in his letter to the Ephesians, is talking to a group of people he knows well, who live in a city that he knows well, and he is concerned that they will be about their business in an effective way. He has been reminding the Ephesians that they are a church, they are a people who have brought on in their faith of in Christ the challenge of living a new life, of putting behind them an old way of living and taking on and adopting a new way of living. And Paul continues that theme today in Ephesians, when he says, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise." That word, wise, struck me as one that we don't really hear a lot about anymore. If we do, we hear it when it's referenced to something that may or may not have anything to do with God. Old wives' tales, wisdom, poor Richard's almanac, and the wisdom and proverbs of Franklin, those kinds of things. What does Paul mean by wisdom? Well, the Ephesians were in a place where there were lots of different options for religion, for belief, for wisdom. There were Greek gods, Roman gods, many gods. There was Artemis, which was the god of the city. There were lots of ways of thinking about God and life. So what kind of wisdom did Paul want the Ephesians to have? How were they to be wise? Well, we need to remember what Paul said in the Corinthian church, which was similar. Paul writes to them and says, "Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. The Jews demand signs, and the Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, for the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Remembering that particular passage, we see that Paul is asking the Ephesians to boldly step up and embrace the wisdom that God has spoken through Christ's life, through Christ's death, through Christ's resurrection. He's embracing the idea that they have a whole new world view and they need to see things differently. They need to see it in terms of God. not in terms of nature necessarily, or not in terms of human need or wealth or any of the other options they have. Well, in many ways, we are no different today. We are like that Ephesian church. We live in a world that is interconnected, interwoven, able to communicate instantaneously and ideas all over the place about what is wise and what is not. Some people's wisdom is based on the idea of success and progress, that we can work our way to happiness, that we will only be happy if we have lots of money, or we'll only be happy if we have the right clothes, the right hairdo, the right look. Others have a wisdom that is sort of nihilistic. There's nothing that matters. All is foolishness. It doesn't matter what I do. There's other more sophisticated wisdoms about how the world works, how the world ought to be. Very tough to negotiate where wisdom is in this day and age. And yet, it's there. God's wisdom is present, even now, as it was for the Ephesians. For you and I, we can take heart that God is still speaking that foolishness he spoke oh so long ago, that foolishness that was so much more wise than anything a human being could come up with. It is a wisdom based on love, a wisdom rooted in compassion, creativity, and love that calls us to a different life, invites us but does not coerce us to living in a more joyous, more righteous, more enlivened place, to embrace the future and set the past behind us. Friends, God's love is wisdom that crushes the wisdom of this world. And if you reflect on that a little bit, you'll understand that the battle between good and evil does not have to be fought on a cosmic level. Jesus has already won that battle. In his death on the cross, in his resurrection, evil on a cosmic level has been defeated. Now, there is what you would call mop-up actions to be lived, and you and I are a part of that. The evil that we experience in the world is not evil that comes from some cosmic being or from some cosmic principle. The evil that we battle in this world comes from human hearts and human minds. Every time we see a natural disaster take life and property and disrupt people's existence, remember that the disruption that you see in that natural disaster is magnified 10 times at least by the things that human beings do to each other. The impoverishment, the death, the annihilation and disruption of lives is more likely to come at the hands of other human beings by exploitation, by war, by greed, by manipulation, by any number of things that are called wisdom in our world. But as we stand and battle and face those realities, we are confident and can be confident in what has been done for us in Christ and for the God who's present with us now in love. And that invites us to delve in to God's wisdom in a more eager and intentional way, to wonder what it means to say that God's wisdom is love, and to wonder if God's wisdom is love, what kind of order would come from that? Well, if God's wisdom is love, that means that the forgiveness that we seek is given. That means the value we would have for ourselves is already given. If God's wisdom is love, that means that all people are of value to God. If God's wisdom is love, that means that the future, both here and forever, is assured, that we will share in God's kingdom, both here and forever, and that we can know joy and peace in God forever and here. And if we let that knowledge shape our thinking about wisdom, we will discover that we will do things a great deal differently than we've done before. For you see, wisdom is about taking our experience and our knowledge and the world around us and finding practical ways to put in place the order that we need for existence. And so as we reflect on God's love and how it might be different, we realize that there are things we can do that will signal and to the world and to ourselves that we are living in God's kingdom with God's love. One of those things is in the words we use and how we use them. In our current situation, many people have been getting into the name calling that always seems to come around with any big issue. We have a tendency to go back to the grade school thing, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. The problem with that is it's a lie. When you call people names, when you disparage their character through name calling, you begin to adopt the wisdom of the world. You begin to take on the idea that other people are demonic. When you cast them as evil and give them a name that is evil, and you make that separation that God does not make, you are entering into the wisdom of the world. Name calling is something to be avoided. Now, that doesn't mean you avoid telling the truth. You can tell the truth about actions. You can tell the truth about facts. You can tell the truth about relationships without calling people names. One of the ways that we are most divided is when we call names. It's not good in our culture, and it's not good in the church. Another way in which our conversation can help us is by our tone, by the way we speak to each other and the way we listen. If you were to go to God in prayer and God began to berate you and yell at you, would that be a helpful situation? No. So not only are we called to set aside the name-calling, we're called to set aside the kind of strident abuse that we heap upon others in the tone of our voice. We're called to think before we speak. We're called to actually listen before we attack. We're called to investigate before we're so sure we're right. We're called to be about the business of being clear before we speak up. Wisdom says there's many sides to the story, at least two. And perhaps we need to find out the truth and the facts before we go plunging into strident name-calling and strident abuse. Wisdom can also be found, if we think about the wisdom of God and love, that in many ways, God's love calls us to not be about ourselves, but to be about others. That means that we don't see the world in terms of what's in it for me, what am I going to gain? Rather, we see it in the terms of the service we might offer to another who is victimized by the abuse of this world. Can we offer, out of our knowledge of who God is, the love and the guidance, the compassion, and the friendship that God offers us, so that another person may know and may be sure that God loves them every bit as much as God loves us? Wisdom in God's love calls us to be people of prayer, people who are aware and have read and digested and contemplated the scriptures in deep and meaningful ways in which you can apply God's love to practical situations. God's love calls us to talk about how we can tell the truth in love, which means we avoid using name-calling, avoid using innuendo, avoid using them and us language, avoid using abuse and yelling to get our point across. Wisdom is extremely practical. It seeks to order our lives in ways that we can count on and trust. Wisdom seeks to build us not into a future or a past that is gone, but a future that will come. Wisdom is about understanding the real root of who God is and what truly is important. So friends, just like Paul told the Ephesians, I ask you and I remind myself that we must be careful how we live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So do not be foolish. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is this, that all who might believe in the name of Jesus Christ will have life now and forever. Folks, do not expect that truth to be embraced with any great enthusiasm by our world. Do not expect it, but offer it and invite others to find it and embrace it. And let's see what God can do with our faithfulness. Let us pray.